today we're going to be in the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 6, and we're going to be talking about restoring brothers and sisters in Christ. So I hope you have your Bible close by. Let's go right now to the church auditorium. Galatians chapter 6. You know, in the New Testament, at least 12 different places, the Bible says, love one another. Love one another. In James chapter 5, verse 16, it says, pray one for another. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, it says, edify one another, build one another up. So on and on and on, the New Testament, the Bible talks about loving one another, praying for one another, building each other up, being a friend one to another. William Booth was the founder of the Salvation Army, and it started in London, England. And Booth would go out into the streets and provide housing and clothing and food for the homeless and for the poor in London. And after the organization was well established, one year they were having a national meeting of all the workers and everything, and William Booth was ill and unable to be there, and he sent a telegram that had one word on it, and he wanted them to remember, and the one word was others. Remember others. And the Bible is so clear that as believers in Christ, we're to do the same thing. You know, if there's an area where we fail maybe far too often, it's in this area of meeting the need of others, supporting other people, loving other people. So let's read chapter 6 of Galatians, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Very first word here is brethren, meaning the Apostle Paul here is writing to Christian people, people who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. You know, brethren, Christian people, I think this is true of our church, and I think it's true of every church. Christian people are weak. They're fragile. They can fall into any sin. I'm not saying we're any more weak than other people. I'm just saying people as a whole are weak and fragile. The Bible's so clear. It has so many examples. Noah, after Noah had built the ark, it took him 120 years. He was a giant for God. Noah apparently fell into a drunken stupor and sinned. We read the story of Lot. Abraham said to Lot, he said, you can choose any land that you want, on this side of the Jordan, on that side, wherever you want to go. And Lot chose the area of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Bible says Lot was a saved man, and yet living in a sin-infested city of Sodom. Lot apparently fell so far spiritually that he was unable to influence his own children when it came time to get them out of Sodom before God destroyed it. So Lot fell. He fell into sin. David, King David, the greatest king in the history of Israel, a man after God's own heart, fell into adultery, and then after the adultery, he committed murder to cover up the adultery. In fact, the Bible says at the end of his life, he was guilty of pride, and because of his pride, 70,000 Israelites died. So David, a man after God's own heart, a godly man, a writer of many of the Psalms in the Bible, fell into great sin. And then there's Peter. It's hard to imagine. Peter walked with Jesus Christ for 3 years, saw the miracles, saw the dead raised, saw all the things that Christ had done, and yet, in a moment of fear, Peter denied that he even knew Christ, cursed and swore and said, I don't even know him. I don't even know him. Along with those men, I can say personally that I am weak and I am sinful and I fall short of what God wants me to be. And I know firsthand how fragile my life is, how much I need God in my life. So he says here, Paul says, brethren, that's who he's talking to. He's talking to people that have sinful lives, have repented of their sin,
trusted Christ, but he's talking to sinners here. He says, if a man be overtaken in a fault, overtaken is the idea of he's surprised. It's not something he is predetermined to do. It's not premeditated sin. It's not deliberate disobedience, but he's stumbled. He's fallen away. He's made a blunder. My first 3 years out of college, I was a high school teacher and a high school basketball coach. I got saved between my second and third year of teaching. In the third year of coaching, I was at Piketon, Ohio, and it was an away game for us, and I had played there in high school. And when I played there in high school one night, we walked out of that place knowing without a shadow of a doubt we had been homered by the officials. You know what I mean, homered? I mean, we felt we had been cheated by the officials. And I remembered that years later when I went back as a coach. Well, we had a close game that night, and in the last few seconds, we lost the game. And I did not go to the other coach. I did not go to my players. But the referees ran off the court right into the locker room where their dressing room was. And I went right behind them. And I stormed into that locker room. The first thing I told them was I was a Christian. And then I told them what was on my mind. And I remember one of them said, well, that's a sorry thing for a Christian to say. And you know, I was embarrassed. I embarrassed myself. I sinned against the Lord Jesus Christ. It was awful what I said. But that was not deliberate sin. I mean, I didn't plan to do it. In a moment of being angry, I walked in there and I did it. It was wrong. It was sin. And I think that happens to almost all of us at some time. He says, brethren, talking to believers, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. Now, there's a contrast here. The obvious is spiritual or not spiritual. He's talking to believers. Spiritual believers or non-spiritual believers. The non-spiritual believer would be what we call the legalist. You're guilty. You did that. You say you're a Christian and you say something like that. You say that you're a Christian and you would be at that place or you would do something like you're doing. The legalist. The legalist is the one in John chapter 8 that caught the woman in adultery and drug her up before Jesus at the temple and said, she's the one. We caught her in the very act. She's guilty. What are you going to do with her, Jesus? That's the legalist. There are believers that are legalists, and you know, when they accuse other people of sin, it makes them look good, makes them look better. But that's not the way God says to handle it. He says here, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Restore. When Monica, my daughter, was about 12 years old, she was riding her bicycle on a court where we lived in Columbus, Ohio. And I was in the basement of my house, and a neighbor ran into my basement and said, you got to come out here right away. Your daughter has fallen. And I ran out to the court where we lived, and she was laying on the ground, and she had broken her left arm about right here. And literally, it was like this. I mean, the bone was totally broken in two, and it was like that. And she was crying, and I remember I got down on the ground, and I got behind her, I laid down behind her, put my arms around her, and just tried to hold her, as her whole body was just quivering, and her arm was just totally broken in two. We went to Children's Hospital in Columbus, and they began to set the arm. They straightened it up, and they kept squeezing it and moving it and adjusting it and everything. And they set that bone straight. To my knowledge, that arm works just as good as the other arm today. After being totally broken, it was restored and looks just like the other arm, and it can be used just like the other arm. That's what this says here. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. That means, it also means mend the net. Like if you have a fishing net, mend the net, fix the net. Or help the person get back up on their feet. The sinning believer is like a broken bone that needs to be restored. Now, you can do one of two things. You can say, when the person falls into sin, get out of here. Get out. We don't want you here. That's kind of what the legalist says. But the Bible says the sinning believer is to be restored. So what if one of our people come in here drunk today? What do we do? Do we say, get out of here? Or do we say, or do we try to restore that broken life? We should try to restore it. It says, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, tender, loving, care of a broken life. You know that, you know this passage in Matthew 7. It says, judge not that you be not judged. And then it says this. It says, don't try to take a sliver of wood or metal out of your neighbor's eye when you have a log in your eye. And you have a big piece of wood in your eye. You're not seeing things correctly anyway. Don't try to take a sliver out of someone else's eye. Your eye may be one of the most sensitive places of your entire body. And if you're going to take a little piece of wood, a little sliver of wood out of an eye, how are you going to do it? Well, I think you're going to do it very gently, very cautiously. So, you got a believer that's fallen into sin. What do you do? What do you do? Well, the Bible says in Matthew 18:15, you go to them. You go to them very meekly, very genuinely, very meekly, very humbly, and you try to make it easy for them to confess their sin. And you restore them. You love them tenderly, with love and compassion. You try to restore them. One man said this, we are not in the judgment business. That is God's business. Our business is to help, to pray, to love, to encourage, to be merciful, to be compassionate, to help him get up. That's our business. We are to help restore people. If you were driving down 75, Route 75, and someone went flying past you, they went flying past you, obviously way over the speed limit, and then a mile or two down the road, you come to them, they've had an accident. Now, what's your response? You're the first person there, a major accident. Do you jump out of your car, run up to their car, and say, hey, buddy, you know what? You are speeding. Is that what you do? No. You run up to the car, you see if you can get the door open, get the window down, something, and you try to minister to the person who's been in the accident, right? I mean, that's the right thing to do. That's what we have to do as believers in Jesus Christ. We have to restore those that have fallen. Restore them.